The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are very joyful, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
You know, Jonah, it was just your wife's birthday and my half birthday, which are on the same day, oddly enough. So really a time of celebration. I was thinking about some of the birthday parties that we had that were really kind of random when we were growing up. And I asked you, and I remember this, if you had a birthday party where you took all your friends to a baseball card show.
Yes, this definitely happened. Yeah, it was just my wife Vicky's birthday. So happy birthday to her and your half birthday.
Happy birthday, Vicky. Happy half birthday to me.
You're exactly 6 months apart. Your half birthday has always been a very big deal to you. I don't feel like it's as much of a thing for most people.
I don't know if that's true. Sort of like, you know, got to celebrate these milestones.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, I had a birthday party where, like, I think mom and dad took us all to like a baseball card convention and like gave all my friends like $5 or something. And I was really into collecting baseball cards. So it was like a really fun party for me.
Yeah. It's fun to have a birthday party where there's an activity. Like, I feel like that was like a really big thing when we were growing up and probably still is, because otherwise, like, what do kids do? They can't like really, you know, go to a bar or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. We didn't go to bars for our childhood birthday parties. But what did you do? You did some activity-oriented parties.
Well, I remember the most common activity we did at my birthday parties was go to a place called Plaster of Paradise or Plaster Playground. And you would pick like a plaster vase or like a little cat statue and you would paint it. And then they would dry it and you take home a piece of art or something really useful, like a glass or a vase.
That's like a thing now, I think, with like the painting places where like you can have a glass of wine and like paint something.
Yeah, now they try and make it for adults.
Yeah.
So they go like, we have wine, or like BYOB, bring your own bottle of wine and make plaster art. And honestly, I actually did do it with my friend Julie once and it was actually really fun.
Yeah, I probably will never do that.
Well, we almost went on a really big hike. I think one of us was moving out of New York. I think she was. And we were like, let's do a fun activity together. And we were going to go on a huge hike. And then we were like, let's just sit and drink wine and make vases.
It sounds like the people that do that a lot are probably like also into like edible arrangements and sort of like...
Edible arrangements are incredible. I mean, to get fruit in such a gorgeous shape. Also, guess what's even more incredible than edible arrangements? The one which name I'm blanking on, where you get cookies by design, where you get a bouquet of cookies. parties. And they're all like, if it's for like Valentine's Day, it would be like hearts and teddy bear cookies. Honestly, the most expensive cookies you've ever paid for, like I remember it would be like $15 a cookie, like six cookies would be like $1,000. But anyways, I think we're impressing our guest today, if nothing else. So maybe we should introduce him and kind of hear if there's any crazy.
I think that's a great idea.
Birthday party activities he did. Okay. Our guest today is a wildly talented actor, comedian, and writer. You may know him from starring in the show Sunnyside, his appearances on shows such as Shrill and Search Party, his Netflix special Psychosexual, and you can now see him in the wildly popular movie that he wrote, Fire Island. Please welcome Joel Kim Booster.
Hello.
Hey, Joel.
Hello.
I do have some childhood memories of birthdays, but I do have two questions / observations from what you guys were talking about, which is,
yes,
are we the first generation of adults that has had activities like this? Like, do you think it's something that we've carried on into our adulthood that like previous generations really didn't have? Like, did Gen Xers like go to painting classes and escape rooms and like things that needed to engage their attention a little bit more? Or is that like because we're all stunted adult children?
I think that's such a good question, because I think, yeah, I think they just did like backyard birthday parties. Like, here's some balloons, a cake. Everyone just runs around the yard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only argument I have that makes me think maybe it did exist was, I remember when I would have sleepover parties for my birthday when I was little, like my mom and I would go to like Pat Catan's, which was a craft store. And I remember like one year we made these big wooden bangle bracelets and everybody had to like paint a bangle bracelet and put like art on it. And one year we used like seed beads and we did bead projects. And I remember my friends like just wanting to watch TV and movies. And I was like, no, we have to do this project because my mom and I planned it. And they'd be like, fuck off. We were too young for them to say that. But I remember like my mom really instilling in me like that it would be fun to do a project. And again, it was fun for like 5 minutes. And then everyone just wanted to like watch TV and eat candy. But yeah.
No, I think that goes to my argument, though, because I think that like a lot of adults teach children that like activities are good. But I just don't think that like anyone else has carried that on into adulthood like our generation has.
Right.
Like Dave and Buster's.
Yes.
Is adult Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
And it's like,
yeah, you're saying like we're the first people who like have them as adults, who have activities as adults.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's no way they would be doing this stuff as adults. Like, when we were growing up, they wouldn't be like, we're going to go paint stuff, or like, we're going to go play video games and like drink like craft beer or something.
In fact, I would say if they did do that, it was sort of frowned upon, because the only things that I can think of that adults do would be like some kind of Civil War reenactments or some kind of like, which I guess isn't really frowned upon, but is seen as being sort of like alt. Like, it's seen as not being like very mainstream. Yeah. I feel like the only activity like our dad does is go fishing. And our mom is in like a book club and plays Mahjong.
Yeah, I think there are maybe looser, like book clubs probably were a bigger thing. And like,
yeah,
I don't know. Did your parents play like board games with their adult friends? Like, game nights are such a huge part of millennial culture.
That's
and
true.
I feel like I don't remember my parents. Well, my parents didn't have very many like adult friends, but like, I just don't remember them like getting together with other 30-year-olds to play games.
Joel, where did you grow up?
Right outside Chicago.
Okay, we're from right outside of Cleveland. And I wonder if it's like also activities are more of a like an urban thing. Like, I wonder if like,
oh yeah,
do they have like trivia nights?
I think so. I think I remember some in my hometown suburb. I remember like the bars would do things like that.
Yeah.
When I would go home and stuff like that. But
yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they didn't really exist when our parents were kind of our age. They were just sort of like,
yeah,
let's go to the bar and, you know, watch the game
or talk about something adults talk about,
or just like have to take care of your kids, like meals, like dinner parties and like going over to someone's house for dinner or whatever. But like, they were just so much, I don't know, they had a lot less free time than I feel like we
did.
Because it feels very normal for us to have like leisure time.
Yeah, totally.
Because we don't have kids and like, you know, I mean, your life is probably busier.
The amount of TV that I watch, like, I don't think that my parents could have watched.
No.
Certainly not at my age, not when they were this age.
You're probably watching more TV than was actually available to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
back when we were growing up. Like,
Vanessa also watches a lot of TV, like more TV than probably anyone I know. But it's kind of research.
You know, it's really because I've been working on, I love that for you, I've been watching so much less TV. It's so stressful now because I'm like, I have so many shows to catch up on. And now whenever I watch TV, God, I love it so much. I really missed it. I guess I didn't have anything that strong to say.
I'm in my like first adult relationship right now. And the way your media diet gets tied up into someone else's, and like he has COVID right now and we can't be together. So we're just not able to watch. There's no TV.
So you have
I can
to
watch.
Find a show that he's not interested
yeah,
in.
Yeah. And thank God he doesn't like Housewives and shit.
Oh, that's great.
Those are the things that I can watch without him. And it's like,
I hope he feels better soon, but there's so
much. He's fine. Very mild symptoms. So
because you got Beverly Hills is out now, Atlanta's out. Like you are.
I've got
really
some
great.
TV to catch up on for sure. Wait, where outside of Cleveland are you guys from? Because he's from outside of Cleveland.
What?
Aurora?
Yeah, Aurora is not far from where we're from. Right, Jonah?
No, Aurora's near Solon. That's where the outlets are. Have you been to the outlets out there?
No, but wait, the lake you just mentioned, he talks
Geauga
about.
Geauga Lake.
Yeah, Geauga Lake.
It's an amusement park that closed, right?
We did an episode where we talked about a close.
It's so funny. Whenever he runs into someone from outside of Cleveland, they all talk about that lake.
Geauga Lake. Yeah, I bet. Because it's an amusement park that was like really popular, kind of small, but kind of easy to navigate, I would say, as opposed to Cedar Point, which is in Sandusky, Ohio, and is like much more of a like trip. Like it's harder to do Cedar Point in like a day, I would say.
Speaking of something that didn't exist when our parents were our age,
okay.
Disney adults, like theme park people, like adults going to theme parks.
You're so right.
Our parents did not go to theme parks without children.
No, never. And I remember my friend Chrissy Zatrock and her, there were five girls. Joni, you remember Jesse was in your grade. The Zatrocks would go every spring break or winter break, they would go to Disney World. Well, the reason I knew that is because one year Chrissy came to Palm Island with us, which was so fun. But anyways, I remember that, I remember that it gave me the idea. I like asked our mom and dad, I've said this probably on this podcast before. I was like, can we go to Disney World this summer? And we were probably both like in high school or almost in high school. And mom was like, you're too old now. And it was like, well, a little bit tell that to the Zatrocks and they get to go every year. But also it was like, that's how our parents saw it. And I feel like that is like an old school way of seeing it is like, once you're like 10 years old, you're like too old. Let's say 13.
Yeah.
You're too old for Disney.
Yeah.
That was such a long way of telling you that.
And I think people have made these observations similarly about like media, because like Marvel movies being the biggest movies in the world. Like those would have been seen as kids movies.
Yeah.
Or like family movies at the very least, you know, like before.
Totally.
You know.
It's crazy how many friends now that I'm in LA, like so many friends that go to Disneyland all the time.
Oh, Matt is going tomorrow to Disney. Like he's such a big Disney theme park like adult.
Loves it.
Yeah, loves
That's
it.
How Taryn is. Taryn goes all the time. And like, it's also probably so different going as an adult and being able to like not be with your parents and kind of just like choose.
And just get really fucked up.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. I remember saying like, when I was trying to sell my parents on going to Disney World, I think I tried to be like, there's Treasure Island, which I think is for adults and you guys could go there. My mom was like, no thanks.
I went to Disney World as an adult.
You did?
Yeah, with my band. We were on tour and we were in Florida and I was with two band, my band and this other band, Pianos We Come to Teeth, and we tweeted out someone from a band account, like, can someone get us in? And these people who worked there were fans and they got us all in.
Wow.
And we went and Smash Mouth was playing.
Okay. Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah, like three sets. And we were going to go see Smash Mouth. We didn't, but yeah, I mean,
you were never a huge Smash Mouth fan, Jonah.
I wasn't, but I mean, we just kind of walked around, we rode some rides, and then this is like a really dumb story, but we started tweeting at Smash Mouth about the show and they started writing back to us and we're like, are you guys having fun? And they were like, yeah, we rode some rides or whatever. Then we wrote back, did you feel like an all-star?
I knew that was coming. I knew you were going to quote one of their songs and send it to them.
And they wrote back, not really.
Congrats on not getting blocked immediately.
It was only a matter of time. I knew it was coming. That's such a Jonah thing to do.
Well, I think there's something about like being an adult now where it's like I remember when I first moved to Brooklyn, you'd go like get your hair cut and they'd be like, here's like a beer. Like everything has to have like a beer with it or has to be like cool or like, and I don't feel like it's like, I can just get a haircut.
WeWork culture.
Yes.
Right.
Where it's like, every night's happy hour.
Yeah.
And like, we do fun activities for you and mixers. And I worked at a WeWork. It was
you did.
Crazy.
You did?
Like my last day job, when I had day jobs, I worked at a startup and I was in a WeWork. And every floor has what is essentially an RA that like works for WeWork to make sure that everyone's morale is up. And you can like, anytime I would go to them for something functional or practical, like one time my contact fell out and I didn't have contact solution. And I was like, I went to him and I was like, do you have contact solution? And he was like, no, it's like the one thing we don't have. And but like every time I would go, they never had anything that you needed. But one, like he would always like walk by our office and like knock on the door and be like, hey guys, notice we didn't see you at the mixer last night. Is everything okay? And like, it would just be like, yeah, I just didn't want to go to the mixer. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, you're not there to like, yeah, make friends. You're there because right in the name, you want to work.
Yeah, it's so crazy. But it is so, it's so about the culture. That's like what they were selling was the culture. Because otherwise, it's just a co-working space.
Vanessa, you work somewhere, right, where they had like a happy hour once a month or something?
I used to work at an ad agency in Chicago called Draft, and then it was called Draft FCB. And once we merged with FCB, the perks were a lot less. But anyway, I don't know why you guys... Anyway, I worked at this ad agency, and not only did they have... This was so awesome. They had a coffee bar that you could go to any time of day, any day of the week. And every coffee was a dollar, and every coffee was like what would be a Starbucks venti size. So I'm calling that 16 ounces. And you could get any kind of coffee. Everything's a dollar and it goes to charity. So it was like, I'm having a hazelnut latte at 2 in the afternoon. I'm sending $1 and I'm giving back. It was so awesome. But every Friday or one Friday a month or every other Friday, I don't remember how frequently it was, they would have a happy hour.
At the office?
At the office for the whole building. And they would have all kinds of drinks and like some snacks and stuff. And it was like everyone went. And I think part of the reason that everyone went was because it was like a Friday and people were like working so hard. They did want to just like leave and have a drink or whatever. Because I remember sometimes people would have to like have a drink and then go back to their offices or whatever. But also, I just remember, I don't know if it's an ad agency stuff, like these people partied so hard when they were given the opportunity. Like I remember the holiday parties. People would go insane. Like we'd have a holiday. I was there, I think, over 2 holiday parties and people would go so nuts. And I remember going to the bathroom and like peeing. I could hear a woman in the stall next to me doing coke. And I was like, she's doing coke at the Draft holiday party. Like at what point would you be like, I'm going to save the coke for the party with my friends? I think like it was because we were at such a like corporate place and people were working so hard. Also, I could see under the stall, like this woman was wearing like high white boots. And I was like, oh, I'm going to figure out who this person is. And I did right away. But I don't know. I just wanted to be like, whoa, she was going. Yeah. Why did I start talking?
Because we were talking about WeWork culture.
Oh, yeah. WeWork culture. Yeah. That it was just like, I think when people are working, the idea that like a workplace can have like fun at it is like so exciting to people, but was really exciting to people in the early 2000s. And now people are like, let me do work.
Well, because it's all a trick. It's like, oh, if,
yes.
right.
If we make the office fun, then they'll stay and they'll work later and harder. And like, you know, as work consumes everyone's life, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, what's the next innovation? Oh, making sure that it's bearable. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. 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 It's like you get paid $20,000, but you have like unlimited pinball machines or something.
Yeah. Because we're all babies.
Have you ever been to, I won't drop the name of the corporation, but it rhymes with Oogle office?
No, I haven't.
I've been to one in Chicago that my friend worked at and they had like...
Oh, wait, no, I have. I've eaten lunch there in San Francisco with a friend. Yeah.
Incredible meals.
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I think. And then also there'd be like a room where like you could play like Xbox or you could play like arcade games. But it was like, but when do you do that?
Yeah.
My boyfriend who worked at Facebook knew a guy who for a while he was like basically homeless. And because there was a gym at the office and like all other like crazy facilities available at the office, he was like secretly living at the office for a while. And he would just like shower and like change and like keep all his stuff in his car. But it was just like possible and comfortable because it was Facebook, because they have like nap rooms you can sleep in. And like,
that's such a smart idea.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes if I stayed out too late on a weeknight, I would come in early to my desk at Groupon and I would do the same thing because there were snacks there. My gym was there. I could take a shower.
Yeah.
Like startup offices are a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Too much fun.
Does that culture still exist or is that kind of over now?
I definitely think so. I have a lot of friends who live in San Francisco. So ergo, I have a lot of friends who work at startups and at these big tech companies. And like, they're always getting roped into doing goofy like ropes courses and shit.
Yeah. On that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with Joel Kim Booster.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
And we're back.
What a conversation.
What a conversation. We went a million places and I had fun in every one of them.
And now I think maybe we're going to get into today's topic.
Yes.
Which I'm so excited to talk about because this is a subject that's been on my mind a lot lately.
Yeah, Jonah, you've got a lot to say about this topic. But
I've got a lot to say. And Joel, you brought it in. And I believe it is microwave bean burritos.
Yeah, microwave bean burritos. I couldn't tell you the brand if it was literally in my kitchen right now, like in the fridge.
Amy's,
sure. Okay.
Yeah.
But like, you know the wrapper.
Yes.
You know they come in a big bag, basically, full of them.
Yeah.
You know? Or you could buy them individually at a gas station, maybe.
Right, right, yep. Right.
But just like the best snack. And this is what it brings me back to. It's funny because most of my picks for nostalgia all brought me back to like this period of my life, except for one, I think was like kid. But this brings me back to my senior year of high school where I would routinely cut seventh period, go home with my friend Sarah, who had a free period during seventh period. And we would watch like Road Rules Real World Challenge and eat these burritos that her mom always had in the house. Always had it. And it was like a thing that when I came over, they would like have one ready for me because they knew I was obsessed with them. Ugh. And I didn't have them at home. It just reminds me of like maybe the happiest times I had in high school because it was a tough transition. I was homeschooled until I was a junior.
Oh, wow.
Technically a sophomore. They sent me to a church school sophomore year and then public school junior year. And like it was a rocky transition, but senior year I had sort of gotten everything down. And so I felt finally really comfortable and like I had friends and
that's great.
Being greeted with a bean burrito every time I'd go over to someone's house really made me feel like I was king of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How nice that they had that ready for you.
Yeah.
What a great feeling.
It really is. It's like fun when you have bits with your friends' parents.
Yes. It's so great.
When you can connect in that way.
My best friend, Gwen, who I talk about a lot, her mom and I would sort of like wait until Gwen would like go upstairs to do something. And then her mom would kind of just grill me on like all the hottest girls going on at school. And I'd be like happy to chat with her about it. And she often made this tuna pate that I really loved and would like knew that I really liked it. There's something so nice about feeling cared for by your friends. Parents. It's like so nice.
It's like sort of a meme now, a meme joke, but like little gay boys, when brought to an all boy sleepover,
yeah,
all you do is talk to the mom.
Yeah.
All you do right. is talk to the mom. Everyone's asleep. You're up first so you can have a cup of coffee with Janet. Okay. Because you just want to chat.
That is so great. I love that so yeah. much. Yeah. Have a cup of coffee. This is the first time I'm hearing this,
Me but too.
It makes a lot of sense.
It's a real thing. Yeah. It's a real phenomenon.
Oh my God.
That we share. A certain kind of gay boy shares together. This is that memory.
I love that so much.
It's the only time as like a 9-year-old gay boy you felt seen is when you were talking to someone else's mom.
Joel, I also am just like, I bet you are so cute. Like just this little 9-year-old being like, I'll take it black. Can I have a little sugar, please, actually? Sorry, that was my impression of you at 9.
It's pretty accurate.
So sweet. That's really, really funny. Yeah, the mom's probably so much more interesting than like these dumb 9-year-old boys. Yeah. You kind of got nothing to offer.
Exactly. Nothing in common. Just Nerf guns.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, Nerf guns. Jonah was into those.
I was, but I'm still fixated on the burrito part because right, my question to you is, you would always go microwave. Would you ever put them in the oven? Because I feel like they can be kind of uneven when you microwave
Oh,
them.
Yeah. They become texturally very much same.
Yeah.
All the way through. You could eat it with a spoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coming out of the microwave. I never experimented with putting the effort it would take and the time it would take.
It's insane.
You're setting up Jonah for a big rant. You're setting up Jonah.
The quality difference to me does not feel like it would be big enough to be worth the investment. That's what I'm saying.
Let me tell you something. I did it recently.
Okay.
I was like on sale. There's some kind of like healthy, like fake meat, a burrito. I get home. 55 minutes in the oven. I got to preheat it for, it's like, we still got over an hour for something frozen. Why does it take so long? That seems insane. Who's got this time?
If you want that evenness, it's got to be, you know, low and slow for 55 minutes.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe in 2022, it still takes that
Did
long.
Did you do it in the microwave though? Was there even
no.
an option? Because that's what's crazy is when you get frozen food that you think will have a microwave instruction.
Oh, right.
You get it home and you find out it is actually, you either need a toaster oven.
Yes.
Or a regular oven.
Yeah.
Or a deep fryer.
You've hit on a really smart thing, Joel, which is that a toaster oven preheats so much faster than a regular oven. And a lot of times with stuff like that, I'll make it in a toaster oven. I'll treat it as, you know, I guess a convection oven. Is that what the toaster oven is when you use it for not toasting? I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
Convection oven has to do with a fan in it that has to do with the way the air moves.
Yeah, I know, Jonah.
Okay. Well, a toaster oven isn't just a convection oven because it's smaller.
Yeah,
but there are convection ovens that are toaster size.
Well, either way, the point is toaster ovens rule.
Can I tell you, though, I bought one.
Yeah.
As like a treat for myself yeah. during the pandemic. And I think I've used it 3 times.
You got to start using it for everything.
Okay.
Jonah's about to say something that I'm going to agree with, but like I make like salmon in my toaster oven. I make it heats up so quickly because it's such a small space. Like truly anything you would make in the oven, if it can fit in there, you should just make it in there.
Oh, wow. I never even thought to do that.
Unless you get what Jonah's going to, I know where Jonah's heading.
Well, I use an air fryer, a Ninja. I think it's great. I don't think I would ever use a toaster, but I use this air fryer like almost every day.
Wow.
Have you ever used one before?
No. It seems like an MLM scheme, air fryers, the way people talk about them.
It's like a microwave. It like just heats stuff up really fast using air, I guess. And you don't need to use oil. And it's great. It keeps things really crispy. But I've never tried to make a frozen burrito in there. But I bet you would be faster.
I bet it would work really well.
I bet it would work. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to try it.
The thing I'll say about the air fryer, I really love it. I don't think that it, like, you know how some stuff you can make in an Instapot and it will be like so fast. It will be much faster than it would in real life. Like you can make, I've talked about this before. It's really boring. You can make soups in an Instapot from like dry beans in like 20 minutes. Like, you can make it so fast. The air fryer, I think stuff takes the same amount of time, but it's just really good because it makes it really crispy.
Yeah, and it's like better for you, I imagine.
They feel so nostalgic. Like, they feel like they're so from the 90s or something, or the like early 2000s, but they still exist everywhere. Like, you can still buy them everywhere. And I kind of forget about them because I also ate them mostly in high school. And like, we always had them in our freezer, I think, too. Like, they were a great snack.
I think you could just buy them in such bulk that like,
yeah,
they were always around.
And I'd like to give a shout out to Amy's too, because Amy's never sold out, unlike Annie's, who sold out to General Mills.
Oh my God, Jonah. That's really a Annie's. Good point. Oh, that's my God. Very
Annie's, still keeping it real. So
Amy's.
Annie's is basically, yeah,
trash.
Not keeping it real.
Basically like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is that once in a while I'll be at a grocery store and I'll be like, I'll pass the microwavable bean burritos and I'll be like, do I want to get one of these? And I'll be like, yeah, I'll get one or two. And then I get so overwhelmed by the flavors, because I never know, especially with the Amy's ones, which is generally what I'm talking about. Do I want bean and the vegan one that's like bean and vegetable? Do I want the one that's like cheese? And like, there's so many kinds, and they
all taste the same though, right?
They're only slight variations. So that's the problem, is that they're not.
Yes, that is the problem.
Is that they're just different enough.
Yes.
That it causes you paralysis. But like,
exactly.
It really is just like swap out like three ingredients. That's it.
And I'm always like, should I be healthy and not get the cheese? And then I'm like, the cheese will be so much better. But then like, this one doesn't have. Yeah, it is so hard to make that decision because they're all like one ingredient different.
I always associate. Are you too familiar with the Taco Bell bean burrito?
Oh, yes.
How do you feel about that? Yeah, because I was vegetarian for a long time. And that was like the go-to kind of vegetarian snack. How do you feel about the Taco Bell bean burrito?
I love Taco Bell. I don't care if that meat is horse. I'll eat it every day.
Yeah.
Because it famously is horse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It came out.
I stay away from the meat, but I'll do a bean burrito. I'll do a cheese quesadilla. And yeah.
We're in LA. We get Del Taco.
Yeah.
Which I think is way better than Taco Bell.
I think it's way better too. And I wish that I could get Del Taco. And I'm so jealous that you can do that.
I've never gotten Del Taco.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really good.
It's so good.
Have you ever been to Tacos Tu Madre, Joel?
Yes, I love.
Have you ever had their breakfast burrito?
No. Okay. Well, I'll have to check it out. I've had every other breakfast burrito, I feel like, in LA, so I'll have to check out this one.
This one has truffle guac and tater tots in it.
Some sort of potato in it is a must for me.
Yeah, a must.
A hash brown, a tater tot, something along those lines. Mm. Truffle is hard for me.
Interesting.
Truffle is hard for me.
Yeah.
It's a little overpowering. It can be.
Right, right. I was just talking to my friend about this the other day. Everybody's getting truffle fries. You go, What about fries with a little ketchup or mayo? And can we be set? Do we have to have truffle on our fries? You're right. It is a strong flavor and it kind of takes over.
Yeah. You know what I love? An Old Bay fry. Give me an Old Bay fry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Over a truffle fry. Oh, yeah. I have some friends in Maryland and they said that there's now an Old Bay flavored goldfish crackers.
That's huge.
Wow.
So I definitely want to try some of those out.
Put a couple of those in a crab dip.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
with the goldfish,
God.
A little crunch, a little texture.
Oh man.
Amazing.
Make a great dip. Do you make a lot of dips?
Yeah, I actually do.
You do?
I love to make a dip. I'm not a good cook. I rarely use my kitchen outside of like microwaving and things like that. But I can make a mean dip.
What kind of dip?
I make this feta dip.
Yum. Already love.
Which is great. A lot of cream cheese and like goat cheese sort of mixed together. Sometimes I'll put a Hidden Valley ranch.
Ooh.
Seasoning packet. Not the ranch itself, the seasoning.
Oh, the packet.
Literally the seasoning packet and some sour cream.
Yeah.
You got it.
So good.
It's so good.
You know, I always want to be the person who like, you're at like a Super Bowl party and everyone's eating a delicious dip and they go like, who made this? I always wanted them to be like, Vanessa brought it.
You know who is that person? Sudi Green.
Is she really?
Sudi Green brings the most delicious, like Middle Eastern, like burnt eggplant.
Oh my God.
Dips. Just to the Oscars. She brought, that was the last time I experienced one of her dips. And it was that moment where everyone was like, who made this? She was the it girl of the Oscar party.
Oh my God. I'm so jealous. And was she just like, you guys, it's not a big deal. That's how I would think she would say it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly that.
Wow. Something to aspire to.
Someday. I see that for you.
I don't know that I've really mastered dip. Our mom wasn't a big dips person.
Not a big dip maker.
Jonah, do you and Vicky make dips?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
You know what's funny is that my family was really big on like sort of appetizer culture.
Uh-huh.
Any big Thanksgiving or Christmas meal, they would always, and it's just literally, we weren't even having people over. They would put out like a dip of some sort, stuffed celery, like
yeah,
a little shrimp cocktail, or anytime it was someone's birthday dinner, they would do that. We were big into dip culture for sure.
Yeah. And sometimes that happens. A lot of times I feel like that's better than the actual dinner.
Yes. I would say the majority of the time. I'm always getting apps when I go out. Because growing up, it was the most indulgent thing that we never got to do.
Yeah.
I will order so many apps, too many apps now. If we're going to an Italian restaurant, you know what I do? I get ravioli for the table because restaurant portions of ravioli are so small.
You're right. You're right.
And I always want to get it, but I don't want to waste my meal on something so small. I need two of them.
Yeah.
So I get it for the table.
That's so smart. I do that with pancakes.
When I lived in Chicago, I lived catty corner from a McDonald's off of the Wilson Red Line stop in Uptown. I would frequently make the mistake of going there as soon as the high schools let out.
Yeah.
And they don't have a lot of places to go, high school kids. So they go to McDonald's and terrorize everyone who's there. But I remember one day I was standing behind a group of teenage girls in Chicago and one of them like flipped around and she's like, should I get fries for the table? it was such a like, she was doing drag. She was doing like adult person drag. And asking at McDonald's if she should get fries for the table. It was so cute.
That's incredible. So cute. That was like a bit that my friend Marika and I used to always do in New York where we'd be like, let's just order a bunch of things and like everybody can pick. And it would just be like stuff that like we wanted to eat ourselves. But we were like, we'll order a bunch of stuff for you guys and everybody can pick and then just like bring it to our part of the table. And we would just eat it and be like, it's for everyone. But then kind of like give people looks when they drink.
Funny bit. So
it was a funny bit. Really it great. Was really sounds funny. Really,
I would love to be your friend at that dinner.
Such a fun bit. I love the idea of a teenage girl going, will you say it again?
Should I get fries for the table? They were so scary too. I've never been more frightened in my life.
To me, nothing more scary than teenagers. Nothing more scary than teenage girls.
Yeah. And especially if they're in a city, the power that has to be like any teenager is scary.
They know their way around. They're like street yes, smart.
Yeah. To have that too, it's just like, woof.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so scary. It's so intense. And I just, all I want to do is have them like me.
And they will make fun of you for anything. They will make fun of you for literally anything.
Yeah. But if they say to you like, I like your shirt, you're like, okay, well, I'm set for life.
Set for life.
This yeah. is the best compliment I've ever gotten.
But then sometimes they'll be like, you wearing a blue shirt? You blue shirt guy? We knew you were a blue shirt guy.
Oh my God.
And then you're devastated and you don't even know why.
Devastated.
You're like, yeah, I'm wearing a blue shirt.
What I hope, and I don't think that this is true, I hope that they know the power that they have. I don't think they do. Mm-mm. Maybe they do, but
I think some of them do because of TikTok. But beyond that, like they feel really comfortable bringing up being ageist to 34-year-old gay men on Twitter. I'll say that.
Ugh.
I'll say that. Bringing up my age any which way they can.
Oh, God. I hate that so much. As a 40-year-old woman, I'm probably like...
It's like when like a really old gymnast goes to the Olympics and everyone's like, the announcers are like, she's 37? Yeah. And she's here?
Sorry, I can't weigh in on this so much because I don't know about this.
Culture of teens?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not as familiar with it. I've never, but it seems like a real thing, I guess.
Well, you should be scared of teenage girls if you're not already, Jonah, because they judge. Okay, and we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with Joel Kim Booster.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts? Time ends. Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
And we're back. So Joel, now we'd like to play a game with you that we like to call Back to the Present.
Joan and Vanessa, we've got to go back to the present.
And let me kind of explain the way that this works. Now, you may be familiar with like a little movie franchise called Back to the Future. That doesn't really explain how this game works. Okay. It does explain where we got the title.
Okay, great.
It's just a, like a funny take. Anyways, the title is, in this game, some might call it more of a segment than a game, we each bring back something from our childhood or from growing up that we wish would come back. And we just kind of like talk about it a little bit and explain why we wish it would come back. So Jonah and I will go first to kind of give you a second to think of yours.
And it can be anything. It could be like a product, a TV show.
A snack.
A feeling.
A game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very loose.
It's very loose.
So I'll go first. Mine is these, Joel, I don't even remember these chips. They're called Tato Skins.
I think I do.
Do you? Yep. They're kind of a controversial chip, I guess. They kind of launched some controversy, but these were chips and they were made from the skin of potatoes. And I believe they were made by Keebler.
I know exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And it turns out that they had different flavors and they had this commercial that was like very catchy.
Yes. It was a baked potato.
Potato Skins got baked potato appeal because they're made from potatoes and skins that are real.
Well, Jonah, do you want to sing the song? Because you sang it for me just like an hour ago.
Yeah. I sang it earlier. It's like Potato Skins got baked potato appeal because they're made from potatoes and skins that are real.
Jonah.
Beautiful.
So, yeah. Thank you so much. I was very nervous to do that. They had a super catchy commercial. They're potato chips, but, you know, they have the skins. You know, they had sour cream and onion. They name all the flavors in the song. Check out the song. Basically sounds exactly like how I sang it.
Keebler presents the appealing taste of baked potato skins in a crunchy chip.
Potato skins got baked potato appeal because they're made with potatoes and skins that are real.
The Keebler elves make potato skin snack chips with real potatoes and skins.
Cheddar cheese and bacon, sour cream and chives, tasty baked potato.
And they finally got barbecue flavor too.
They're made with potatoes and skins.
But I guess they were discontinued. No one can find them.
Yeah.
So Keebler passed the brand on to someone else, the Poor Brothers. I was looking up the history and then I looked at what website I'm on and it's called poisonmushroom.org.
Okay.
So maybe I don't know how reputable poisonmushroom.org is. Anyways, somehow these chips got discontinued. I don't know why. No one knows why. But based on like my 2 minutes of research, but TGI Fridays has potato skin chip that they sell.
Yes.
And they were sued a few years ago by a woman in New York for $5 million because she said their potato skin chip doesn't have actual potato skins in it, just as potato starch and something else. She said she was confused because when she goes to TGI, I guess I did more research than sounds. When she goes to TGI Fridays, they have a potato skin appetizer from real potato skins. So she assumed these chips would have real potato skins, but they don't. And so she was suing them. And I couldn't figure out what happened with the lawsuit. But I find that lawsuit to be so crazy because it's like, So you get all the money because you've like figured this out. Like you just looked up like the ingredients on the back and were like, oh, there aren't potato skins.
Sounds like it should be a class action.
Yeah, yes.
It sounds like a classic class action situation. So they do sort of still exist, but they're made by TJ Fridays and they don't have actual potato skins in them. So do they exist? I don't know.
And I guess the question is, did Tato Skins have real potatoes in them?
I think that they did because they said...
They said they come from potatoes and skins that are real.
That's a lawsuit right there.
That's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
They put it in the song, but it wasn't real. Brazen.
If that's not true, then that's false advertising.
Yeah. They never got sued though. So I think it's true.
Yeah, I bet it's true. Or at least this woman wasn't paying attention at that time.
Yeah. Like, I found it, like, interesting. Like, I was telling Vanessa, I was like, how was your weekend? Like, oh, it's pretty good. But I was, like, eating these chips. I realized there aren't potato skins in them. And I called a lawyer. And I'm going to sue for $5 million. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it worked. Maybe she got it.
And then keep the conversation going. How was your weekend? Well, it was good. I, like, relaxed and saw friends. And I ate chips and didn't really think about what was in them. And I was happy.
Right. And I wasn't like, oh, just because a place sells something in the restaurant, it can't be different than in a snack I buy at the grocery store. I expect them to be exactly the same.
Was she like, I'm suing for $1 million because I was misled?
$5 million.
$5 million?
Yeah, false advertising.
It's also, you're right. It should be a class action suit because it's like, she gets to keep all this money because she figured it out. It's not like she's eating a different chip than everybody else.
Yeah.
Also, no one's going, you better buy these chips or else. It's like, she's making the choice.
No, totally. So that's what I'd like to bring back.
You'd like to bring back Tato Skins, which are also from a less complicated time when you could just make chips and not worry about litigation.
Yeah. And I'd like to get the original Keebler Tato Skins, and I'd love to pair them with a nice dip. Like maybe one of these cream cheese Hidden Valley dips.
Yes.
I think that would be delicious.
This Hidden Valley idea is blowing my mind. The idea of getting the powder, Joel, and just mixing it with sour cream.
Putting it on popcorn?
No, man.
Oh my gosh. I'm ready to do this. This is such a smart, simple idea. Okay, so Jonah's are Tato Skins. What I'd like to bring back to the present is a little store that I just confirmed with my friend Jenny Pistel called Letter Us. The owners were actually Ashley Smith's parents. Of Ashley and Jeremy Smith siblings. Well, that is important, but that's not the part that I want to talk about. I want to talk about at this store, Letter Us, Joel, you could get any kind of like gift for like a birthday party or something. And they would put like the person's initials or their name on it. Like you could get letters so that anything like kind of like monogrammed with like bubble letters for your friends. And it made incredible gifts. But the thing that I love the most about Letter Us, and Jonah remembered this really clearly too, is they had this thing called spin art. Where you would pick out a shirt or a sweatshirt or something. They'd put it in this machine and then the machine would start spinning. And then you'd have all of these different paints in squeeze bottles and you'd squeeze them into the art as it was spinning. And it would like spin. No. Here's what you would do. I think you would put all the paints in first and then they would like close the top of it and they would just spin it. That's how I think it happened. Spin art. Then cut to spinning stops, paint dries. You've got kind of like a paint tie-dyed piece of apparel to wear. And you are honestly the coolest kid in town. It was so fun. I looked it up and they do sell spin art machines on Amazon. They have these machines that are kind of like $30, but they're more for like art projects. Like they're more to spin paper art. I don't know if they have like the industrial kind of ones that they had at Letter Us. I expect those would be really expensive. And it was incredible. And Jonah, you remember it, right?
Yeah, I remember going there for parties or hanging out. We'd all get t-shirts made and kind of like what we were talking about earlier, right?
Yeah, activities.
Like it was like an activity kind of birthday type thing. And I think they sold like other stuff at that store. But yeah, I felt like everyone went there from our high school.
Yeah, I don't know. It was probably so exhausting to have everybody love the store so much.
I don't know if that's why they closed. But yeah, I could see this relaunching of it for like adults where they're like, oh, we're going to like drink sparkling wine and make like shirts like this or something. Like you could market this probably towards adults.
Absolutely.
Right.
Did you ever do spin art, Joel?
No, not familiar with it. I can picture it clearly in my head.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever actually seen it. I just have such a vivid image of it in my head.
Yeah. And you've probably seen people wearing
absolutely
shirts that were made by spin art. Yeah. I wish Letter Us would come back. They could open in LA. They'd do great. I could see so many like hipster LA people like going in there and like being like, let's have some wine and make some shirts, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was Letter Us, I guess I'm really, because I worked at Kids R Us in high school, I guess.
Yeah.
Letter Us was kind of like a Toys R Us, Kids R Us kind of.
Oh, was it?
Well, it wasn't associated with them in a business way, but like, I wonder that's where they came up with the name, which was really clever. Okay, Joel, What would you say is your thing you would like to bring back to the present?
This is something I really enjoyed. I don't know if either of you played video games or had video games growing up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We had a Sega Genesis.
I miss the games that would come out as tie-ins to movies that they do not do anymore because games are too advanced now. And like, it's just like the timing would never work in the way that they did.
Right. You wouldn't be able to design the whole thing in time. Is that what you
mean? Yeah. But like, I remember like every Batman movie that came out.
Yep.
GoldenEye famously.
Of course.
GoldenEye 64, famed like movie tie-in that was like probably the best movie tie-in to ever happen. But like all the Batman movies had movie tie-in games that were great. A lot of Star Wars like movie tie-ins that they just can't do anymore. I don't know. I miss them. I miss them a lot. And a lot of them were really, really bad.
Yeah.
A lot of them were terrible, in fact.
Was the GoldenEye one famous because it was so, it was actually good?
Yeah. The multiplayer.
Yeah. But now they go the other way too, because now there's a Sonic the Hedgehog movie that's just about to come out.
Yeah. It's sort of the other way around.
And are they doing like a Call of Duty movie, or did I make that up?
That sounds very likely, honestly. I mean, if they made Halo into a television show, then Call of Duty could definitely be.
Or like Silent Hill or something. I feel like they,
they're literally making a Rubik's Cube movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Joel, what do you think the Fire Island video game would be like?
Great question.
I think it would be, do you remember Myst and Riven? Those games where you walk around and like solving a mystery, basically.
No, but they sound incredible.
With clues. Oh my God. Myst was like one of the most boring games, but like you could not stop playing it. It was just you on this deserted island, like searching around like different rooms and walk. Literally, you weren't fighting. There was like very little active anything you were doing. You were just solving puzzles and collecting clues on this island. And that is, I think, what it would be. It would just be walking around Fire Island, collecting clues and trying to get laid.
Oh my God.
Using the clues. That's it.
That reminds me of King's Quest a little. Did you ever play that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you would play that on the computer, Jonah.
You would just like open the chest, walk around, like look under the book. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be you guys just kind of like walking around Fire Island, kind of.
Or it would be like The Sims, maybe.
Right.
That would be fun. You just get to create your vacation group instead of a family. Give them all different personalities and then let them loose and see what happens.
I mean, I'm so excited to see Fire Island. I feel like between you and Matt Rogers and Bowen, and I know Nick Adams too.
Oh, wild. How do you know Nick?
I know Nick because my friend Ben is friends with him, and we went and saw him in a play years ago. So I know him too. And like, I feel like you're all just so talented, and it's going to be so incredible. And by it's going to be, I mean, it is, because it's out now.
And you've seen it and you've loved it.
On Hulu. Seen it, loved it. Now, Joel, aside from Fire Island, which everybody's got to see because it's incredible, where else can people find you these days?
My Netflix special comes out June 21st. And then I'm on an Apple show called Loot with Maya Rudolph that comes out June 24th.
Oh my God.
The first three eps will drop. Also, Matt and I are both on shows where we play gay assistants to living legends. I play Maya's assistant.
Oh my God. And Matt is Jennifer. Yeah. Oh my God.
Who is a fucking incredible on your show, by the way. Just like, there's like a full like energy shift when she walks on screen. It's so crazy.
I agree. I can't even handle how incredible she is. I mean, Maya is so incredible and fun. I'm sure you and Maya too are so incredible together. That
it
will
was a
be
lot of fun.
So fun to watch. So people can catch you there. Anything else?
They can just follow me at I Hate Joel Kim on all social medias.
Okay. I love that. Well, Joel Kim Booster, thank you so much for being here today. Thanks to everybody for listening. Keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we'll discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like microwavable bean burritos.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you so much, Joel.
Thanks, guys.
Diamonds
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.